We're talking today with Val Vodacini from FSA. We're at that critical juncture within the 2014 Farm Bill implementation. Farmers making some decisions, including that the acreage reallocation, which we're literally at the deadline of it now. Are you pleased with the results as far as the participation by farmers to this point?
Well, thus far, we've seen a steady increase in foot traffic over the last number of weeks. We sent out 3 million postcards in early February reminding folks of these upcoming deadlines, and we've seen as a result of that effort increased foot traffic really all over the country. You know, I don't know that we'll get 100% of those who are eligible to participate. It's a voluntary program, certainly, but we've seen an enormous amount of interest in the process of reallocating base acres and updating yields, and county offices from Maine to California are very busy with that process. For those that don't meet the deadline, they need to contact their local FSA office so that they can be placed on a register, and we'll work to, you know, go through the register backlog as we've done with other programs as well. But there's an intense amount of interest drawn from Oklahoma to all other parts of the country in these programs, and it's a good opportunity for folks to get into their office.
So if they do call and they get a kind of a reservation, in effect, get their name on the list.
That's essentially what that is, right. We call it a register, and they get their name on a list, and hopefully they can make an appointment in the next couple of weeks to get in and take care of that part of the process.
Now, is that going to also be the case when it comes to that final election of PLC versus ARC?
It may very well be. You know, that deadline is still 5 or so weeks away, and so we've got a fair, you know, some time in between now and then to continue to drive sign up in our offices. But if we feel like we need to use a register for that, we'll certainly do that too.
A lot of talk out in the country right now by various folks that, you know, will there be an extension of that particular deadline that comes up at the end of March?
We'll be monitoring those numbers of folks who've signed up and elected very closely and make a determination a little bit closer to that deadline as to whether there'll be an extension.
You know, we've got a certain number of farmers out there all across the country. I know in our state we do. They can't really grasp. In other words, they're maybe some of our older producers in some cases, but they can't grasp the technology, and they're having a hard time really getting to a point where they can make a good decision. How's USDA trying to help them?
You know, we're attacking that issue in a number of different ways. Of course, for those that are more technologically inclined, we've got some great web-based decision tools that were developed in conjunction with a couple of land-grant universities. For those that like to get their information in the form of a public meeting, we've done literally thousands of meetings around the nation in conjunction with land-grant universities, cooperative extension, commodity organizations, Farm Bureau chapters, and others. I was in Montana recently, and in some cases, folks were attending their third and fourth meetings. So for a lot of people, that's a better way to get the information. For others, it could be a small producer meeting led by a local CED in a county office in Oklahoma or another state. So there are a number of ways that we're, you know, providing information to our customers around the nation. Some prefer the privacy of their own office to look up the website and see what the resources are there, and others like to engage in a more interactive meeting process. So we're trying to address, you know, all levels of technological sophistication and interest in these programs.
The Congress allocated monies for this education effort to work with the land grants. How, you know, give me kind of an overview of what your thoughts are on how well that has worked.
I think it's been a great partnership so far. You know, the Farm Bill did include some money for us to work with Texas A&M as well as the University of Illinois on some web-based decision tools. Those have been viewed almost 200,000 times since we rolled them out last year, and so that's been a helpful way for us to spread the news about these programs. We've also entered into cooperative agreements with 65 of 70 land-grant universities that we'd focused on, and so they've been helpful in terms of having public meetings with us around the country. The partnership has really been great, Ron, and I think that we can use that model to help spread the word about other USDA programs, other FSA programs. It's a partnership that I certainly hope we're able to keep going.
I know that this isn't the only game in town for FSA. What are some of the other things that your offices are especially busy dealing with right now?
Well, in your home state, certainly the livestock forage program is high on the list. You know, Oklahoma, Texas, a couple of other states in the Southwest saw really high levels of LFP-related activity, and we're still working through registers on those programs to make sure that people who needed assistance in the years that drought really hit the Southwest hard get that assistance. We've assisted over 500,000 ranchers under the LFP program since we rolled it out last spring, and we'll continue until the last folk, you know, the last folks are paid. So that's one other big program. The Dairy Margin Protection Program was another big one that Farm Service Agency administered. We've got a low-cost crop insurance program called NAP that covers specialty crop producers around the nation. We've been really busy on a variety of fronts since this farm bill was signed last February, and we're going to be hard at it until the last person is processed in our office.
On the livestock disaster assistance, did it surprise you that the Southwest, Oklahoma, of course, was almost ground zero? Did it surprise you at the level of interest and the amount of dollars going out?
Well, we were doing 3 years at one time, and, you know, drought had been a enormous issue and challenge throughout the Southwest, as had, you know, disaster issues like the Atlas Blizzard in the Dakotas. So we were making payments and providing assistance on a, you know, pretty widespread geographic area as well as for a long period of time. So the activity has been intense in Oklahoma and Texas and other states. Nebraska certainly has been a big part of that too. Didn't really surprise me, but I'm just glad that we've been able to provide as much assistance as we have to cattle operations all over the country.
One last question in regards to the 2014 farm law. In previous farm bills, we've ended up with, you know, in many cases, a list of some technical corrections or things that needed to be fixed. As you've gone through the titles that you're responsible for, have you seen anything that Congress maybe needs to address just to kind of tweak things to make it easier for you?
I don't know that there is any big issue that has leapt off the page at us. You know, the statutory language was fairly prescriptive in some areas and more open to interpretation in others. And, you know, we've done the best job that we can to make sure that the regulations we write to implement those big titles in the Farm Bill, like Title I, which covers the commodity programs, are done in a farmer-friendly way, in a way also that's easily understood by our county offices, which are the ones responsible for implementing the bill. So it's been challenging, Ron, but I think we've been up to the challenge. And in my anecdotal conversations at the Commodity Classic here, I've talked to a lot of farmers who've been into their county offices to do the reallocation process. They've said that it's gone well, you know, that activity in the offices has been brisk, but that they've received the assistance that they need from local county office staff, and that they've also participated in some of the meetings that I referenced to better understand these complicated programs. This is different from past farm bills. It really requires farmers to be a lot more involved in the decision-making around which program is best for their operation. And between our aid and the assistance that they get from land grants and other groups, I think that they're to the point where they can make some good, thoughtful decisions.
Last area, and that is to do with the technology that is required for this and just all your other functions. It seems like FSA has been playing catch-up, and all the USDA local offices have been playing catch-up on computers. Where do we stand on that?
You know, we have just been engaged in a big national refresh of our technology, so offices are getting new hardware. Part of the Farm Bill monies that we use for, you know, outreach and training meetings went to developing software that's necessary to make these programs work in the field, and that's been an important part of the process, too. I don't know that we'll ever be as advanced as some private sector companies when it comes to the hardware and software that we can deploy, but we've got the right tools in the field, I believe, to get the job done, and, you know, we'll continue to focus on our software and hardware and IT challenges in general where we need to. We've just completed the work on the MIDAS program, which we've been engaged in for several years now, and the business partner module focuses on customer records to the tune of about 11 million separate customer records for business partner. Earlier in the year, we'd rolled out farm records, which contains nearly 40 million pieces of information about farm fields and tracks, et cetera. So I think we've deployed some good technology around the field to help make this process an easier one, both for the farmers and the customers that serve them.